Welcome back to hour number two of the Jack Evans Show right here on your local station, 590 WMBS. Mike Sackley sitting in for the vacationing Jack Evans this week. Say thanks so much for joining us here this evening. We've got 86 degrees here in downtown Uniontown. Enjoying some great Wednesday evening weather and this late July evening. It's been fantastic so far. A little bit on the warm side, but definitely enjoying the weather. It's been very nice so far. But I do want to bring in our guest here for the second hour. He's written a book about the Pittsburgh Pirates, specifically talking about the Pirates of the 1971 season compared to the Pirates that we saw last year, the 2011 Pirates. And the book is titled The 19th Year, A Sweet Summer with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And joining us right now is Mike Lowenstein, the author of the book. Mike, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Mike.
And I just want to talk to you about the book. I had a chance to read it. It's a fantastic read for any Pittsburgh Pirates fan. And I think there's a lot of people, especially here in the Uniontown area, that they really can't get enough of the Pittsburgh Pirates, especially when they're doing well. But just talk a little bit more about the book and why you decided to talk about both the 1971 season and the 2011 season and some of the similarities and comparisons you saw between those two teams.
Well, the reason that I wrote the book, in 1971, I had broken my arm. I was 14 years old at the time, and I spent the entire summer going to Pirate games, which was, you know, obviously quite a good summer to do that. In 2011, they were coming off a season. They had only won 57 games, but they seemed to have a little bit of potential. And so I made a commitment before 2011 to go to 40 Pirate games last year. And I wrote about it, and I wrote, you know, weaving back in and out between the 2011 team and the 1971 team, and obviously the 1971 team was a championship team, and last year wasn't, but last year was really quite exciting and dramatic for much of the season. It didn't last to the end, but I think, you know, Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania got a great feel for what it was like to have a really good baseball team again, and experiencing more of that this year.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you there. And also, if you'd like to talk to Mike, ask him questions about the book, talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, feel free to call us 724-438-4593 or outside Fayette County, 1-866-590-WMBS, 590-9627. I do want to ask you, though, you talked about the 2010 team. They were 57-105, and then you committed in 2011 to go to 40 games. I think people, and once you did that, people would have might have thought you're crazy to put that kind of a commitment into a Pirates team for half a season that had struggled so bad the year before. But what did you see, or maybe what did you hope that was going to happen with that Pirates team last year that maybe a lot of other people didn't see, or maybe were just kind of pessimistic about the way things were the year before?
Well, I certainly agree with your premise. It took a lot of explaining at home, although my wife is wonderful, and she ended up going to, you know, probably about half the games with me, which, you know, she had never done before. In 2010, obviously, they really were an awful team, but they had a core of young players, McCutchen, obviously, and what he's become, but even back then, in 2010, Pedro Alvarez looked like a really bright prospect, as he does now, but he really struggled in 2011, and they had Neil Walker, who, you know, looked like he was going to be a really good player, which I think he's become, and Jose Tabata, who, you know, looked to be all of that, and obviously this year has fallen off, and so there was a feeling. I'm a person who likes to watch things grow and build, and I felt that they, you know, they were in the right direction. I didn't know how fast they would come, but I like to see things grow. I like to see people get better, and I was excited for that, and that's a big part of why I signed up for it.
And talk a little bit about that summer of 1971. It's really an amazing story of going to a lot of Pirates games. You admitted in the book you went to a lot of games by yourself at Three Rivers Stadium and had a chance to see that team and the amazing number of star players and star potential with great pitching staff, obviously Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell, and just one of the best lineups that the Pittsburgh Pirates probably have ever had in their very long and storied history. That summer of 1971, as a 14-year-old boy growing up, I imagine it just had to be unbelievably magical to you to be able to see that team and to see how successful they were and to be a part of it almost night in and night out.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I did go to games by myself. I had a had a cast, you know, from my wrist all the way up to my shoulder, so it wasn't too easy getting around. But, you know, you take a bus downtown and head over. And one thing I feel, you know, I'm obviously 40 years older than that now, it makes you a little bit of a witness. There's still plenty of people around, but not as many who saw Clemente and Stargell. My dad is still alive. He actually saw Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig play baseball, and he told me all about that. And I told, you know, my kids about watching Clemente and Stargell and, you know, all the players that I grew up with. And, you know, hopefully our kids will you know, tell their kids about watching Andrew McCutchen and Pedro Alvarez and James McDonald and A.J. Burnett. In 1971, the Pirates, you know, they really had come together. They had won the division in 1970 after a decade-long drought from the 1960 World Series. You know, Clemente was a tremendous, you know, just a superstar player for that whole time. By 1971, he was 37 years old, but, you know, he didn't have an ounce of fat on him. He hit 341 and was, you know, just an incredible all-around baseball player as finally the whole world saw in the World Series of that year. In the early part of the year, Willie Stargell was really the star of the team. He was the runner-up of MVP, should have been the MVP that year. He had 48 home runs. He just carried them through the first half of the season. And so you had those two, you know, fantastic players, and you had a great group of young hitters who were coming up. You had Al Oliver, who, you know, hit 311 times. You had Manny Sanguin and Bob Robertson and Richie Hebner and Dave Cash and Gene Kleins. It was just an incredible hitting team, both power and average, and a pretty good amount of speed too, overall, and good defense. Anytime you have Clemente in right field, that's a great start for defense. The pitching was good. Ellis was, you know, great most of the year, tailed off at the end, started the All-Star game. Steve Blass, by the end of the year, was definitely their best pitcher. The other starters were, you know, just pretty good, and the bullpen had Dave Justy. But for the season, it was really a hitting team throughout the year. But interestingly, in the World Series, when they played the great Baltimore Oriole team that had won 16 games in a row and had 420 game winning pitchers, it was actually the pitching that came through to outpitch the Orioles, and that's how they came back from being 2-0 down in the series to win it.
It's interesting you talk about the offense of the Pirates of 1971. It was really something that really lacked a year ago. But we've seen flashes of that offense come back this season. Now, there have been games like some of these games in this past series against the Cubs, and especially in April and May when the offense just wasn't there. But I'm sure, you know, being at games this year and seeing this team, what they've been able to do in June and July, I'm kind of going a little off track here, but talking about this year's team, I mean, seeing that offense come up and really put up big numbers, it's obviously not Clemente and Stargell, but it had to bring back some of those memories seeing this offense do what they've done this year.
Yeah, it really has, especially the last month and a half or so. And I would say this, Andrew McCutchen is having a year that Clemente or Stargell or anybody else would be really proud of. I was on a show not long ago with Brian O'Neill, who writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and does a lot of stats, and he said that the only 2 years in Pirate history that compare with the year that Andrew McCutchen is having, or I think he said Hannes Wagner in 1908 and Barry Bonds in 1992. So we're watching something really historic out there with McCutchen. And the other thing that's come along around him, part of it, but also others, is the power of Alvarez. They're getting a lot of power out of the catching position with McHenry and Barajas. And, you know, Garrett Jones is hitting the ball out of the park. And it does. There are times when it feels like, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's got to be a great feeling after last year's team, and for even the first couple of months of this season, there just wasn't a whole lot of offense. But you bring up McCutchen, and I think one of the great things about Andrew McCutchen is that finally this generation of Pirates fans, including myself, who have just been thirsting for a winning team for years and years and years now, coming 19 years, obviously the title of the book. They finally have someone to get around. There's been a lot of good players that have come through Pittsburgh in that period, but I don't think anyone, and there's Andrew McCutchen has a long way to go before he gets to any, you know, Clemente type of level, but I think finally the Pirates fans, the younger generation of Pirates fans, finally have that kind of superstar player to get around in McCutchen, and he's been producing. I mean, the way he's been going here in June and July, I mean, absolutely fantastic season.
Yeah, he's just been incredible, and I agree with you. We've had a lot of good players in the last 20 years, but since Barry Bonds left, we really haven't had a great player. And I think, you know, people are watching greatness now, and it's not hard to see when it's right in front of you.
I definitely agree with that. Talk about 1971 as far as going to a baseball game, the atmosphere of going to a baseball game in Three Rivers Stadium as compared to, you know, a modern-day baseball game right now. And I know you're talking in the book about how games then used to move a lot quicker back in the early 1970s because you didn't have, you know, as many commercial breaks and guys kind of, you know, taking their time in the batter's box and things like that. But give some of the newer listeners a sense of what it was like to go to a game back in 1971 and around that time, and even some of the games at Forbes Field as compared to what a baseball game is like today.
Well, I think you make an excellent point. I think the games were faster then. I think there weren't, first of all, not as many of them were on television, and so I think the commercial breaks tended to be a lot shorter, and the game itself moved faster, and you didn't have all the players, you know, adjusting their batting gloves after every pitch. I would say this. I mean, I'm staring out as I'm speaking to you. I'm looking out over PNC Park, and it's just an incredible place to watch a baseball game from, and much better, in my view, than Three Rivers Stadium, which was, you know, built in the style of the era. You know, cities all over the country were doing them, and most of them are gone now, these sort of circular stadiums that just never capture the same atmosphere. I think PNC Park actually is a lot more like Forbes Field, which I used to walk to as a kid to go to games, and you know, it has, you know, PNC is better in the sense that, I don't know if you're old enough to go to Forbes Field, but, you know, they had poles all over the place, so half the time you'd be sitting behind a pole, but it was still a wonderful stadium. It was incredibly intimate. In fact, after the game, they had a track that you would walk on, you know, on the field, or around the field, you know, through the outfield and go what they called the exit gate, and it was just a, you know, it was just a great experience, especially for a little kid going with your father or your grandfather. And I would say on the book, I get a lot of feedback from people. For, you know, they tell me about their own stories of going to Forbes Field, and I don't hear them, to be honest with you, I don't hear them the same way about Three Rivers. I do hear them about PNC Park.
I think PNC Park kind of has that type of feel of Forbes Field. It's very different stadiums, as you mentioned, but the scene of people walking across the Clemente Bridge and the, kind of the buzz and atmosphere. And I had a chance to go to a few games at Three Rivers Stadium, but I think the buzz and atmosphere you get around PNC Park, obviously the Clemente Bridge is kind of one of those significant things that you people see, the people walking across the bridge. It is very amazing, and in the obviously the skyline in the background, a lot of people seeing PNC Park as the best park in America. Different experiences from Forbes Field, but I again think with PNC Park, the magic of baseball in Pittsburgh, kind of that aura is back from a time I'm sure when it was there at Forbes with Forbes Field.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I'm looking over the Clemente Bridge now, and cars are going, but earlier this afternoon, you know, there were people streaming over it into the stadium and people streaming over it after the game was over back into the city. I was there last night, and I think I was on the bridge with like 5,000 people. It's just incredible, and it's great for Pittsburgh. It's great for Western Pennsylvania, I think, and it's a big reason I committed to go to the games. It's a big reason I wrote the book. It's just every time I saw the people going over the bridge, I had the same reaction that I wanted to go with them and go to the game.
Now, I was reading the book that when your law firm moved into a new Reed Smith moved into a new building downtown, that you specifically requested that view of PNC Park and a chance to look out over the ballpark. And I got to imagine that also factored into your wanting to be able to go to those games last year and sign up for those 40 games to go last season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are, you know, I don't want to give the wrong impression, there's a number of offices that have these views. And, you know, when you're old and have been there a long time like me, you get a chance to get one of them. I also, you know, I had to negotiate a little bit with the firm to which way my furniture would face. And I, you know, I'm literally, you know, looking straight out the window. And that's the way I sort of envisioned it. And, you know, even in the winter and in the early spring, it, you know, it gives you that feeling that the season's coming and you know, it's going to be exciting again. So it was a good choice by me.
I definitely would agree with that. You talked a little bit about this already, but it's kind of the reaction you've gotten about the book, and what specifically, if anything, has stuck out to you that people have said, that people have talked to you about the book, and you talked about the memories of people walking to Forbes Field and going to games back in the day. What specifically has stuck out to you when you hear from people who really can relate to what you're saying with this book?
I would say a couple things about that, Mike. First of all, there's a lot of family stuff in this book. One of the reasons that I wrote it, I'm very fortunate. My parents are both still alive, and I wanted to write a lot of this down while they still could, enjoy it. They're in good health, and so a lot of the feedback I've gotten is from family, not just parents, but cousins and aunts and uncles and so on, and that's been very gratifying. For friends and people I don't know, I mean, they seem to really like the book, and that obviously makes me feel good too. As I mentioned, the thing that strikes me the most is, and it probably gives me the most satisfaction, is that almost invariably when I get an email or a note back about the book, it's about their own experiences and their own memories and how reading this book enabled them to tap into some things, and they tell me their stories, and I really enjoy hearing it. I did get a note from somebody who just said Bream was out.
I would agree with that sentiment, if only the umpires that day did. It's been great talking to you so far, Mike. We're going to come back here on the Jack Evans Show and talk more with Mike Lowenstein, the author of The 19th Year, A Sweet Summer with the Pittsburgh Pirates, when we come back here on your local station, 590 WMBS.